You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Do not adjust your dials, kids. This is indeed a second weekly installment of the APC podcast, Green Bay Packers Talk, from SB Nation and AcmePackingCompany.com. Not always going to be able to get you two episodes. Had the opportunity to give that a try this week and thought we would. Let us know what you think. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Are you indifferent? Do you want me to shut up? At the APC Pod on Twitter is where you can do that. The APC Podcast at gmail.com for longer form hate mail, love mail, etc. Just ahead on the show, Alex Patakis, Ben Foldy, and myself, Zach Rapport, are set to talk to Arif Hassan. You can follow Arif on Twitter at Arif Hassan NFL. He covers the Minnesota Vikings for The Athletic, and we were pleased to have him stop by for a few minutes and preview all things Packers-Vikings. Just a quick note before we get to that interview, if you're new to the show or if you've been listening and you have yet to give us a review on iTunes, it only takes a few seconds, and in a world of algorithms, it really does help get our show in front of more eyeballs and more earholes within the Packers blogosphere, so that would be much appreciated. So, without further ado, let's get to Arif Hassan from The Athletic.
The number you dialed is
Acme Packing Company.
The last time we talked to Arif Hassan, we were previewing a game in which his team then went and broke our quarterback. I'm hoping that that is not the case this time because we already have a quarterback who is half broken. He covers the Minnesota Vikings for The Athletic now. Congrats on the new gig and thanks for the time today, Arif. What's happening?
Thanks for having me and thanks for the congrats. It's a dream job.
So, first off, observations from week one. There's a lot of changes with the Vikings, I would say, right? But all in all, what were your thoughts on the turnover from year to year?
Yeah, so, you know, obviously the Vikings over the past 4 or 5 years haven't had a ton of changes on defense, but the addition of Sheldon Richardson has been huge. They've needed a kind of a consistent three technique there to pair with Linval Joseph, Danielle Hunter, Everson Griffin. Adding Mike Hughes in the secondary was pretty crucial, it turned out, because the Vikings did go down a couple of defensive backs. And, you know, as a first-round pick, you know, you can't really ask for more, especially after getting a pick six in his opening game. So those are kind of the big additions on defense. On offense, I think everyone kind of knows the story. The Vikings went all in on quarterback Kirk Cousins, $84 million guaranteed. Dalvin Cook's coming back. That should help them out. And they made a couple of changes on the offensive line. I would expect for week two, Pat Elflein's not back yet. So I would put Brett Jones back in at center, Tom Compton at left guard, and Mike Remmers back at right tackle, right guard with Rashad Hill at right tackle. There are some questions there, of course, but at least the Vikings kind of get to make up for it with some really talented skill position players. I mentioned Dalvin Cook, of course, but they're also returning Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, and Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, we talked last time about, you know, who had a better receiving duo at their peak with Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, and then Devontae Adams, and I guess maybe we were putting Jordy Nelson up there. I don't even remember at this point. Like, it doesn't feel like Jordy was like the Packers number two last year.
It's all a sad blur.
But I guess he was. But with Kirk Cousins obviously surrounded by that skill position talent, is there legitimate optimism in Minnesota? Because I feel like Cousins around the league or like other fans, like he seems like a guy that everyone likes to make fun of. But for you guys, it seems like he just makes perfect sense, and it scares me that you have like a capable quarterback.
Yeah, and you know, Cousins makes it easy to kind of make fun of him. He's a bit of a dork, yeah. But you know, he's been a player that I think throughout his career has demonstrated that he plays about to the level of the players around him, maybe a little bit above. But it's very important that the players around him, you know, kind of exceed expectations. You know, you've got a quarterback on the other side of the ball, Aaron Rodgers, who just seems to play well kind of no matter what. I mean, get rid of his offensive line, get rid of his receivers, you know, never give him a running back, and he seems to play pretty well. Kirk Cousins seems to play well only when he's got that offensive supporting cast around him, but Minnesota is a place where he does have that supporting cast, and because he's kind of like a force multiplier for those kinds of things, when you've got a good supporting cast, you can turn him into a great supporting cast with a quarterback like Cousins, and we saw a lot of that today. 10 targets, I think, to Thielen, a bunch of targets to Diggs, who ended up with a touchdown in the game. I think they both ended up with the same amount of fantasy points as a result. And Dalvin Cook there too. So I think Cousins, he does have his limitations. We saw that at the end of the San Francisco game. But those are limitations that you can kind of work with when you've got as talented a group as the Vikings have.
So one of the things that jumped out to me about Dalvin Cook's week one was that he got a lot of burn in the passing game. Do you see that as something continuing moving forward? And more specifically, I think that's actually something that will be pretty useful to attack the Packers defense on next week if Oren Burks isn't back.
Yeah, I think that with the Packers' weakness at linebacker, you're probably going to end up with a couple of targets to the running back. But I think in this game, you saw 10 targets to Thielen, you saw a bunch of targets to Dalvin Cook. Thielen played a ton of slot. I think 46% of his snaps were in the slot. You'll notice that kind of just means a bunch of matchups underneath. And I think that's a product of the way San Francisco's been running their cover three defense. They got kind of a cover three guy from the Seattle system with Atlanta and Jacksonville and stuff like that. And that tends to open up, you know, your corner spot or your slot spot tends to open up your running back spot. And so I think those targets were kind of just a matter of course. It wasn't like Dalvin Cook is this like insane matchup. He's not, you know, Alvin Kamara in the passing game, but he could end up being sort of a top five back overall. And his receiving skill set is a big part of that. But I think that this ended up just being a product of the defenses that he saw. That might end up being the case, too, with the Packers. Dalvin Cook is, like I said, a very good receiving back. He's just not the receiving back. And so if you've got those matchups, if you've got the kind of coverages that dictate targets to the running back, I think you'll end up seeing them, you know, again next week. He ended up getting a lot of targets here, and it turned out to be very useful for the Vikings.
Do you miss McKinnon? He was kind of your boy.
I love McKinnon. Yeah, I mean, I do. The fact that the Vikings seem to find pretty able replacements, maybe long-term replacements, not sort of immediate replacements, and the two undrafted running backs that they have, Rock Thomas and Mike Boone, both of whom are kind of sparked through the roof. They've got some pretty good athleticism, especially Mike Boone. You know, that kind of softens the blow. Really, it just sucks that we didn't get to see McKinnon last week because he tore his ACL. So, yeah, I'm hurting for him.
Yeah. I could imagine. Well, looking at this matchup, obviously for the Packers, one, I guess we don't even really know like if Rodgers is playing. I would think he's playing. But I imagine like for the Vikings, like you just prepare as if Rodgers is playing, and if it's Kaiser, like who gives a shit? It kind of feels like, because at that point, like you're talented enough to pretty much run anything.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's it's not like you know, Christian Ponder, Joe Webb thing, right? Where you prepare for one quarterback and then you get burned by the other. No, this is pretty much you prepare for one quarterback, and if it's the other one, rejoice. Like, yeah, throw your game plan out the window, but like just put in your normal defense, you'll probably end up doing fine. The thing with this Aaron Rodgers matchup is I think it's going to create some interesting defensive opportunities and challenges. Because if Rodgers is in there, obviously he's not going to be that mobile. And I think the Packers' offensive line is weaker than it's been in, I don't know, like a decade. It's been a while since it's been, you know, kind of this exploitable. And both of those things together, I think, speak to a really quick passing game. And so the Vikings are going to have to be able to kind of shut down, maybe roll up and press coverage against some of these guys and shut down that quick passing game. The biggest issue with Rodgers is that he's done these like one step drops and he flings the ball 20 yards downfield. And, you know, Devontae Adams is open, even though it's like, you know, a quick passing game. He shouldn't really be that far downfield. So they're going to have to be careful about that. But I think primarily they're just going to kind of sort out what that quick passing game is going to look like defensively, how they're going to still be able to get pressure on the quarterback. If they can shut down, you know, first and second down, they'll force Rodgers into third and long, and you can't really get into a quick passing game there unless you're throwing a screen pass. And the Vikings are over the past 4 years have been one of the best teams in the league against screen passes. The preseason, you know, this year, not so much, but for the most part, pretty good against screen passes. So those are kind of the ways they should kind of craft or think about their defense if Rodgers is in there. Now, if Kaiser's in there, you know, watch out for, you know, read options. They're probably going to try and move them around a little bit. But, you know, just play fundamental defense.
Just do your job.
Yeah, literally just line up. It's okay. Yeah, we try to throw a screen with DeShone Kizer, and he just seeks out Khalil Mack because he didn't give him the ball. Like, giving him the ball once isn't enough, which was baffling. But yeah, so I mean, obviously the quick passing, like we, for us here in Packerland or whatever, we were kind of excited that Rodgers' lack of mobility led to them getting to these kind of traditional West Coast principles because, like, I'm sure you're aware, Packers fans always bitch about him holding onto the ball too long, these long developing routes and everything like that. But one thing that always happened against the Vikings, and we talked about this last year, was they would always play that, like, two-man shell. And I feel like that was, like, Rodgers' kryptonite. So if they do kind of come and play maybe, like, you know, press a little bit more, like one high safety look, or they're, I'm assuming they're pretty well equipped to do that, right?
Yeah, no, they've played every look. I think their best look was a cover six against the 49ers last week. They play cover one, cover two, cover six, cover three. Well, not as much cover three, but yeah, they play every look. So yeah, they're pretty well equipped.
And you have one of the better corners in football, right? In Xavier Rhodes. He was healthy, right? I believe.
Yeah, yeah. He always gets banged up. He got banged up for like a couple of plays in this game. He's fine. Trey Waynes also has apparently, I don't know, probably has to be tested for PEDs, but he's playing out of his mind too. Finished the year playing pretty strong and then had a bunch of great plays in San Francisco. So, you know, if he's turning out and Mike Hughes is playing like he is, probably the best secondary in the league. That's not bad.
Yeah, I would say so. Looking around the NFC North too, like, do you believe in this, like, Bears hype? Because obviously we were elated about Aaron Rodgers' comeback and everything, but to me, Mitchell Trubisky just, like, does not seem to be fit for the job right now. I know that he's still very young, but everything is within like 5 yards of the line of scrimmage, and yeah, there was a, like, he left a lot on the field against the Packers.
Yeah, I think the Trey Burton still is going around with Burton just kind of open and like waving both hands in the end zone.
Yeah,
and dirts a screen to Tariq Cohen instead. I've cheered for teams with really good defenses and mediocre quarterbacks. I mean, I'm a Vikings fan. That's just kind of part of the deal. They haven't necessarily done all that well. I think you're Peyton Manning, Broncos, Super Bowls, and whatnot. Those are pretty rare. You should probably have a good offense, too. So I think the Bears are going to be limited by Trubisky in a lot of ways. You know, I found, for example, over the past year and this last game, he's not very good throwing left, and he doesn't throw left all that often. That's a problem. And, like, it's a huge hell. And no matter how good your defense is, and, you know, the Bears' defense has improved pretty dramatically, if you can't stop your quarterback from helping the other team score points, there's not much your defense can do. They would need to have, I think, a better defense than they do. And I think, you know, some elements of that defense are overrated, like Akeem Hicks, great. Khalil Mack, defensive player of the year, quality player. True. That's all fine. Kyle Fuller has had one good year, right? He dropped that, you know, pick that probably would have won them the game. And he wasn't so hot for a lot of the game. Adrian Amos, Eddie Jackson both played well, but they're not really all pros at safety. And I think Leonard Floyd's a big problem. So I think there's a lot there, I think, with the Bears defense, but I don't think it's all together for them to be able to pull an offense forward. And that offense is going to need to be pulled forward given kind of all of Trubisky's limitations.
Yeah, I thought after the Mack deal, it just felt like there was a lot of overreaction. Like, to me, it's still a two-team division. I mean, and the Vikings very firmly as that number one team.
Yeah, I think so. Especially, you know, with the injury to Aaron Rodgers, it kind of depends on what Pettine can do with that defense, because I think there's a lot there for the Packers. But yeah, if the Lions can't, like, the Lions obviously had a very bad game. If the Lions can't kind of take advantage of some of the strengths that they have, definitely a two-team division. The thing is, I mean, if you take a look at the Vegas odds, I think, you know, Khalil Mack is such a great player that him by himself can move lines, and he moved lines from like 4.5 wins to 5.5 or 6 wins. Like, that's great. Like, that's incredible that, you know, he moved Vegas odds so much. But also, that's six wins, right? So that's not a great, like, that's not, you know, division-winning kind of competitor. That's not even a wild card competitor. So, yeah, I think for now it's a two-team division.
Yeah. I mean, and I think with the Bears, it was just a huge gamble and them betting on Trubisky being really good. Or in Nagy kind of being able to just like do enough and coach around some of his limitations. But it felt like against the Packers, they threw their entire playbook at them on the first few series. And after that, it was just like, all right, now what? I mean, that's from our perspective, kind of what that felt like.
If you were the Packers, how would you attack the Vikings on Sunday?
Well, I'd take a look to see if Jimmy Graham still has stuff. You know, George Kittle was able to take advantage of the Vikings pretty heavily. Last year, the Vikings were, I think, like number two in the league by some measures against tight ends. But I've just kind of always had this problem where I always think like a tight end is ready to exploit the Vikings defense. And that's been a problem in the past. I think in 2014, 2015, it's been a big problem. So, you know, that's a matchup I would take a look at. I know the Packers have been trying to get a tight end to do stuff for them for, well, ever since JaMychal Finley like broke his neck or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like easy to just be like, oh, well, use your tight end. But I think that's probably how I would start with it. And I try to find ways to get Davante Adams one-on-one. Like, I don't think Adams is better than Rhodes, like receiver to cornerback, but, you know, even the best cornerback is going to give up yards to receivers. And so probably, you know, move formations and shift things so you get a bunch of 3-by-1 looks on offense. So you've got Davante Adams singled up and, you know, make Rhodes work for it, you know, run those post routes, see if you can find a way to get Harrison Smith on the other side of the field, that sort of stuff. And, you know, when that kind of opens up, maybe take advantage of some of the running backs in the run game. I think that's maybe kind of the best way to do it. The Vikings did have some trouble with screen passes in the preseason. See if they still have that trouble. But yeah, it's not easy to just come up with answers to the Vikings defense, because it's not just that they're very talented, which they are, but they run a ton of different types of defenses as the situation warrants it. Like you said, they ran a bunch of cover two shell against the Packers. They ran a bunch of cover one against Jimmy Garoppolo. They run a bunch of, you know, cover six or, you know, they do a bunch of matchup zones, or they do man, or they do, you know, whatever, right? They can blitz nine, or they can, you know, rush three, and it's just a thing that they do. So it's difficult to say schematically, these are their weaknesses. It's also difficult to say from a personnel perspective, these are their weaknesses, because they've got like pro bowlers and all pros at every level.
Yeah, yeah. And a lot of depth too.
Yeah. That's my advice, I guess. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is a god apparently. So do something with that.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Thanks. Good luck. We don't even know if he's going to play. So
right.
If he doesn't, it's just going to be a bloodbath, but I'll take it for the long-term health of the team, I guess. All right. Well, there's no line because we, again, have no idea if it's going to be Kaiser or Rodgers. So we can't ask you to pick against the spread. But in terms of who you think is going to win, let's say if Rodgers plays, because I think that's the only way anyone cares if the Packers can even hang. Are you taking the Vikings to come out of Lambeau Field with a win?
Yeah, I would say if Rodgers plays, the Vikings are favorites by maybe like 3. That sounds about right. If he doesn't play, it doesn't matter. And I would say, yeah, I would take that. I would take probably even the Vikings by more than 3 in that situation, just because, you know, Zimmer defenses against Rodgers seems to be kind of like a different thing, a different kind of beast altogether. I just don't see where you get those matchups. So yeah, if Rodgers plays, especially if he's hurt, or especially that he's hurt, I'd take the Vikings by more than 3. And if he doesn't play, I'd take the Vikings by like, I don't know, 10.
Yeah. Or more. Yeah, for sure. I don't know. You guys agree? I would pretty much say I would, for this week, I'm taking the Vikings with or without Rodgers.
I'm okay to take the Vikings.
Yeah. I just don't think we're,
And I'm not even upset about it. That's the great thing about last week.
Well, you are wearing purple today, so it's just like a thing now all of a sudden. All right. So, we appreciate it. You can check out his work in The Athletic. And we always enjoy kind of getting the, you know, opposition's perspective. So yeah. I don't know. Good luck, I guess. Not really. I don't mean it. Just leave. Just let Aaron, like, you know, just thud up. Just let them blow the whistle. Like, just, you know, don't break him again. That's all I ask. I don't want you to make my next 14 Sundays meaningless.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. If Rodgers plays, I don't want the Vikings to retake him out.
Thank you for your magnanimity.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, that's nice of you.
Yeah, right. That would be bad football and also bad form. So, yeah, here's to Rodgers' health.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a good one. Till the tears run down from my eyes, Lord, somebody, ooh, somebody, can anybody find me somebody to
love? Alexa, play hits from Queen.
Okay.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need. Get tens of millions of songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
All right, that's going to do it for us on this second edition of the APC podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. We recorded this interview on Tuesday. It is now Wednesday as I record this. We thought, hey, maybe Mike McCarthy would give us some injury information, but as ever, Pittsburgh accent heavy, details about injuries light. So we're not yet sure if Aaron Rodgers is going to play. I have a feeling he is going to play. He's not going to practice all week. I have it on good authority that Alex Patakis and Ben Foldy are still planning on taking the Vikings, but I am a fan. I am not concerned with gambling or analytics, so I'm going to take the Packers just to leave us on a high note here. Why the hell not? Once again, you can follow the show at the APC Pod. There's still time to join the Pick'em League, the APC Podcast Listener Pick'em League. You will be 1 week behind, but hey, the standing shift every week and some real dark horses came into the top 10 late last year. So follow us on Twitter at the APC Pod, get into the DMs, we'll exchange information and we can get you signed up on the Pick'em. It is free and there is a mysterious prize to be named later. So for Alex Patakis, Ben Foldy, and everyone at AcmePackingCompany.com, I am Zach Rapport signing off from my living room in Queens, New York. Enjoy the rest of your week and let's go Pack Go!
Hello, I'm Spencer Hall from SB Nation, and I want to tell you about my new show, It Seems Smart. It Seems Smart is a show about people doing things that, for some reason or another, seem smart at the time. Those things might include doing a little cocaine and driving a bike up a mountain. Or, I don't know, maybe racing 100 miles per hour across the country in the middle of the night with no one's permission. Or even stealing a bat from an umpire's room in a Major League Baseball park. Check it out, and if you like it, tell a friend. I'm Spencer Hall. Don't do anything smart.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.